Blog Talk Radio.
Been trying to get with this chick for a month now. I need you to do me a favor.
No.
What do you mean no? I ain't even asked you nothing yet. You're already saying no. Wait till I ask you a question.
Alright, pass me.
Got this chick. Been trying to get with her for a month now. Only thing is though, I think she got something against blacks. You believe that? A Spanish bro with something against blacks. Even after the whole J-Lo and Jock thing, she got something against colors.
No.
Murder, I-N-C.
Baby, I don't know why you're treating me so bad. You say you love me, no one above me, and I was all you had. Oh, my heart is beating for you, I can't stop crying. I don't know how I allow you to treat me this way until I stay.
See, my days are cold without you.
Good evening, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, man, just traveling, trying to do this book thing down here in these Carolinas, you know, handling a couple of things. Had a good weekend, productive weekend. And, yeah, other than that, what's going on your end?
I'm chilling. I'm good money. I'm feeling good. Happy to be here. Excited about tonight's show. Them damn book groupies.
Yes, and I think that we're going to have something very, very interesting come out of the mouths of the wives, because I know each one of them has a different type of experience, and they're going to let it out this evening, and we're going to hear what everybody has to say about the book groupie, or groupies, period, you know, because, you know, not everybody is a book groupie, but then, you know, certain people have, you know, a magnetism about them, and they attract people to them. So, you know, what can you say?
Exactly.
What do you think about that, Eric?
I mean, it definitely happens. It's real live. There's
mm-hmm.
definitely book groupies out there. I mean, I think it happens in a lot of entertainment fields. Not that literature is entertainment, but I think that the view on it is sort of similar. And the book groupies come out, you know, and being that a lot of women deal with books and reading, you know, it's like they be looking for that attractive man in the mental sense. Like, just the fact of you wrote a book, you can read. Like that could be a reaction right off the rip.
Hmm.
You know, the cause.
I think it's a lot like you know, what we see in the hip hop industry, where you have, you know, people who are famous in that particular field of the art. And I think it's the same thing, you know, the fascination with the author and who they are, you know, the mystique. Are they anything like the characters, you know, which characters can I compare them to? You know, you actually get to meet the person who created that great piece of work that you really enjoy. And, you know, just like in the music industry, you go to the concerts, you know, in the book industry, people go to book signings or book events. So I think it's like is one and the same in that aspect, you know, whereas though they're like, you know, celebrities. So people want to, you know, be around them and talk to them and, you know, just try to get to know the people who actually write these books. But the people cross the line sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
but
what I'm talking about. I'm
going to come
that's
on here and we're going to find out.
About.
I don't
those
know.
People that are crossing the lines, like, nah, it's definitely, you know, that's part of the culture, meeting the people behind the books, and
mm-hmm.
greeting them and wanting to, you know, actually, you know, get a personal feel for them. But the
right.
book groupie thing is something different. Like that's a little bit. I think that's across the line. That's when
you
across the line.
You think it's just people trying to go out and try to, you know, meet. No,
I think supporters are supporters. I think supporters and groupies are like different. I think that they probably get pushed together because of the closeness of the relationship, because the key interest is the same, which is the author or the books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that it gets confused in the sense of people thinking that they're the same, when actually there's people that's really just out there to support, and then there's people out there that are actually just groupies. Like, I'm following more so the persona of the person or the person themselves. They could it goes beyond the book. Like, it could not even be a book involved now. It's like now at this point it's like, yeah, I don't even gotta be no book. Like, it's you. You know what I mean? So I think it's a little separation.
Okay. Well, we're going to toss those questions right back at the wives, because each one of them had, like I said, they have a different experience, and they're going to, you know, highlight that, let us see, you know, what's on their mind, and I'm interested in hearing what's on their mind and how they feel and their personal experience. But definitely, author-wise, if you are on the lines holding, please press your 1 so that we can bring each one of you in. One by one, so we can get this show jumping. They're going to be talking about the book groupies. They're going to be sharing their, like I said, their personal experiences or whatever it was that they went through. And I can't wait to sit back and, you know, just try to learn what happened in these types of situations. So, Aaron, we bringing them in at
yes,
what, 6:15? You can start bringing
yeah.
them in now.
But see, we could bring them in right now.
Yeah, start bringing
bring
them in.
The first author wife, go ahead and introduce yourself. Hello?
Well, Miss Fun, Miss Just Fun is here. Hi, you guys. How are you doing?
Hey, how
What's
are you?
What's going on, Miss Just Fun?
I'm hanging in there, enjoying this beautiful Sunday.
Yes, it is beautiful.
Okay.
It is beautiful
yes,
outside. But we're happy that you're back here for season one, episode two. To jump off this subject, this hot topic we got tonight. These book groupies, I know you have a personal story that you're going to share with us. You have your own take on that. Can't wait. Bringing these other wives in if they're on the line so we can get everybody in the
yes,
clubhouse so we can start chopping it up.
Wife number two, you are live.
Hello.
Hello.
I am so, my voice is sharp. I'm sick.
Oh, Miss Noodle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I may have to sit back and just throw the punches.
Yes, you are already a soldier for being here. That's serious.
See, we got those soldiers on our team.
Yes, indeed. And let's bring in our last author wife. Good evening.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Hey,
what's going
how
on?
Are you? Miss Crazy
I'm
in Love.
I'm chilling.
That's what's up. Well, it's going to be another explosive Sunday as we, share different stories and ideas about the book groupie. We talked a little bit about, it stemming from, the hip-hop type era, that R&B era, when you have someone who you really like and you follow, you go to the shows or events, whatever it is to keep up with their work. But at some point does, that line get crossed? So we're going to toss that around a couple of times. Vanna, what do you think, Miss Crazy in Love?
I'm sorry, Nene. What did you say? I'm zoned out. What was the question?
What were you thinking about? We were talking about how it do people cross the line? Because we said you have supporters and people that come out and they want to get to work and everything, but do some people cross the line?
Sometimes they do. I mean, I think a lot of times just being a female author. The dudes, I don't know, they just think they could push up on you or whatever, and they know you're trying to sell books. So they try to use that against you. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard the line, yeah, I'll buy your book if you give me your number. What part
wow.
of the game is that? It don't work
like that.
We're not doing that. Yeah, they do that all the time, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, why would I have to do that? why would that even be necessary?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
How you feel about that? I'm just fine.
Well, it's a weird one because, see, when she's talking from a perspective of the author, that's the female perspective. What I got with trying to just get into this industry, just get into this game, dealing with, my author, we looked at it like I had to play a certain position. I knew I had to play a certain position because, let's face it, the reality of the audience for him would be women. So, if you're not a strong, secure kind of a woman, then you'll be, you'll be mad and pissed and argumentative all the time. So, very early on, I knew, it can't be totally revealed that I am his woman, even though we're business partners. I had to put business first.
And
I thought I was doing a really good job because, people see the author at the table. People start thinking it's all of this money or or just whatever. It's just everything that's associated with the arts. You know, those who dare to be in the arts, you know, are put on pedestals, you know, to a degree, that people are holding their head looking up. So, you know, when you're a spouse or a girlfriend or, you know, the support, you play the position like, you know, let them shine. Let her shine, you know. This is their moment. But it backfires, you know, when people take it and let their head get blown up. That's where it becomes a problem.
Okay. So in your situation, that's what it was. It was the attention, you know, getting all that attention from the readers and whomever, and that is that how he fell into? Did he actually, was it a bushy, a book groupie, or?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say a book groupie, but I mean, you know, as I became a little bit more less involved, because when you're a creative team, you need to stay a team. Everybody needs to be present, things like that. However, with me being pregnant and me being sick very early on, I was sending him out, you know, without me. So before, where my presence was there, no, he wouldn't dare do anything with my presence there. I was controlling the money. I have the purse. I'm doing the credit card swipes. You know how the scene go. It was that moment in time where someone saw him and thought she could say, hey, I can help you with marketing, and it was supposed to be business, and it was sold to me that this person was supposed to be someone who can maybe help the team. She was creative, you know. You know, but in all, people just want what they want. And when the slower I became, and this person having, you know, being a new shiny new toy, it took on another approach. Because she knew that we were a team. She was supposed to meet the other person, you know. So it was a little crazy. It was a little crazy. Even receiving emails from her from work she wanted to submit to get paid for. You know, it was a weird one that someone just want, when people really want what they want, they'll do anything at any cost to get it.
Wow.
But I got something for a book of groupie. Or if you want to say groupie or someone that's trifling, just give their asses what they want. That's the solution.
Yeah, just give them what they want, huh? What do you think about that, Aaron?
I think that, you know, she definitely got a great solution for the problem. If it's like she called it, if it's the pitch that she put out there, then she gave you the answer that goes over the plate with it, because you know, you can't really stop something like that, especially when you're trying to do business. That's a bad function.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have nothing like that going on while you're trying to handle business, because now, you know, you can't look at the paperwork and be trying to look over your shoulder too. Like it's you know, it's crazy. It's a bad atmosphere. So you got to let it go.
Yeah, exactly, because it's like you would go crazy when you're trying to do business. You can't look at every woman crooked-eyed. You know, not every woman is not about handling business and getting that money and paper. You can't be afraid that your author husband or a spouse or whatever is not talking business by every woman he come along. You know how many beautiful women are in the world or whatever the case may be?
Right.
But, you know, when the dynamic duo is going to be grimy, that, you know, that took another turn for me. That's how come I couldn't be the catalyst in it. Like, you won't have me in common, you know, because I'm giving fuel to the fire. I'm fighting. Nah, I'm going to give a bitch what she wants. You think he's this amazing author with this amazing work ethic and this amazing dedication to family and to what he started? To want someone like that just says a lot about the person. They deserve one another. See how life is. I'll remove myself from the situation. Won't even be a problem, people. Enjoy.
So let me ask you a question. You said this woman, you wouldn't call her a groupie. Did she work within the industry? Because you said it was a business situation.
Yeah, she does supposedly marketing, promoting parties, things like that. So when you're trying to be a new entrepreneur and we're looking for entities and ways to get, you know, this book bought and people to meet, I was told she was going to help with the marketing. And, you know, she thought he was a great author. She enjoyed the first book. I saw some exchanges where, you know, they were really first writing about business, supposedly.
Hmm.
She must have been sold on a persona, like what you guys were saying earlier, when people have a perception of something and not really knowing what's in the background. It's that perception that fucks people up.
Hmm.
For real.
Yeah.
You're right. I got to agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, and that's something. That's something. I'm taking it back. Where's Crazy in Love? Where is she?
I'm here. I'm just listening. Yeah.
You know, I always have to try to see how you feel about that, you know, because you said your husband is slightly in industry as well. Like you say, you got to take pictures of folks. He does photos and things. And how do you feel about what Ms. Just Fine is saying, you know, in that aspect?
I mean, she's right. You do have to do business. I can't, like, he does shoots all the time, chicks in bikinis and lingerie. If I made it so that I had to be at every photo shoot due to, you know, just worried about that, I mean, I wouldn't have a life of my own if I just worried about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all right, let me ask you a question, Ms. Crazy in Love.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some shoots that you make it your business to go to?
No. No, I really don't even know. No, I don't. I don't know. I guess because he's been doing it for a long time. And at the same time, you know, I used to model and stuff like that. I used to do shoots and videos and all types of jobs. And he was never really like that kind of jealous man either when I did stuff like that. Like, he just would be like, okay, is it cool? You know, it's legit. You getting paid? Okay. All right. Have fun. Be careful. You know, he would drive me there if I needed a ride or whatever. And that was it. He knows I have good judgment. And for the most part, as far as that, I believe he does too. So.
Okay. I just had to ask because he was like, you know, if he'd be popping up at all the shoots. I'm like, okay, what shoot she do?
No, never.
And we're sorry that Miss Kia isn't feeling well this evening, but I think the conversation continues to go. I know she has a wonderful story because you know how she do with the groupies. I know she got one for us, but she might have to save hers for the next episode. We're also waiting for her video as well as Miss I'm Just Fine. We've been tossing it around, trying to see when we would do the reveal. Maybe they're not just ready yet, but we're going to see. We're going to see because we want you to know who they are, but they still got some things they want to get off their chest. So we're going to see when those videos are going to post. Meanwhile, you can go to YouTube and catch the one that is already posted, Miss Crazy in Love, author Dana B. So make sure you're checking her work out and one-clicking. But, Aaron, what is your perspective?
Yes.
About, you know, mixing that, you know, mixing the two. If you're in the industry, should you, you know, go for folks who are also in the industry, you know, or should you try to be outside of the industry? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think about that, you know, if you have your situation?
I mean, it could definitely work if you and your mate are both in the industry. I mean... And you know, in some cases, it could work even better. It depends on your personal relationship. Like, y'all got to have a very – I would definitely not advise anybody to go into a business relationship with their mate if their personal relationship isn't good because – and, I mean, it has to be totally solid because if it's not, the business relationship is going to corrupt it or taint it because business is business. And your personal relationship is two different things. And business may swing one way this day or this week where your relationship has to remain intact, your personal relationship. And you don't want to start pulling any negative energies from your business into your personal relationship. So if you don't have a person that's strong-minded and strong-willed on both sides of the fence, meaning business and personal, and y'all relationship is that tied together where y'all can move in unison as one in both, you know, lanes, then I wouldn't advise it, because it's only going to create a problem, because somebody going to end up losing interest within the like somebody going to start feeling like they're doing more, or this person ain't doing enough. And whenever it's problems and you in a relationship, it'd be harder to talk to your mate than it is to just someone that you in a business relationship with, because you can just come to them with the cold, hard facts of what it is. Like, yo, look, you're not pulling your end. But when you have to say that to someone that you have to lay next to at night, it's a different thing, because you don't want them to be hurt behind the thing you had to tell them about business, but you had to tell them. And now you have to lay with them like
the
it ain't,
opposite.
You know. Okay.
What'd you say there? Go ahead.
I think it's the opposite. You don't feel like it's easier to talk to somebody like that you're close with as opposed to somebody that you're just doing business with?
I mean, I'm saying that's why I said your foundation would have to be solid already. If it's not already that, like with you have 12 years in with your husband, so just y'all situation is solid. So for your view, of course you're going to be like, nah, it's easier because I know, boom, this is my partner. I could come right to my husband. Anything that's going on, I come right to him. This is how we do our thing. That's going to be your view. But for someone like Miss Just Fine, like she's starting out with someone and she helping someone and they getting to know each other as time is going on, this is still at a getting to know each other stage. Even if you living with a person, it's a getting to know each other stage. And entering into a business clearly was not a good, because she said last week, she didn't even think that this was going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she just happened to be taking care of some business and seen this.
Right.
It wasn't like she was snooping. She's on her business thing and seen
exactly.
This. So she didn't know that this man was this type of man, because they didn't spend enough time getting to know each other and build a solid enough foundation for her to know. Like, she's just, they were still in the getting to know you stage, because clearly was found out later on that she got to know who he really was. Like, whoa.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I feel like, of course, but I definitely get what you're saying with your type of foundation, yes. But when you got another foundation, you don't want to hurt. It's probably times when there was things she probably wanted to tell him when she was taking care of all of the business. It probably wanted, there was days she probably wanted to say, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
but
that's
just,
exactly
you
where it shifted.
Feelings.
That's exactly where it shifted, because when you have to take a strong position to say, look, love, like, we got part two coming. You have an audience. You know, people are looking. What do you want to do? You know, didn't know that somebody was liking someone else's shiny new toy. You know what I mean? Didn't know that. So the minute you try to speak from a business perspective, let's be real. Let's get on the grind. Let's get back to work. Let's get focused. The minute you start saying it, it was almost as if I became the enemy. It was almost as if I stabbed somebody in the back, and we knew each other for a minute. I mean, it wasn't totally new. I mean, in his dedication, in the book acknowledgement, I was the very last line where he, you know, reached out and said, my partner in business and in life. You know, we knew that it was that type of situation.
Right.
So, you know, I should be able, and we prided ourselves on being brutally honest to one another. But not brutal, but we really, really loved the fact that we were so able to be honest with each other. Down to when your breath is kicking, you know. You know, all that stuff that you spare people when you really, you know, when you care about them. But no, it's the telling somebody to get a breast mint or brush their teeth that shows that you care about them. Like, you in my face.
Right.
Brush your teeth. What you mean? You know, that's who we were to one another. So, yeah, when I'm telling them, like, look, these are the numbers. This is what we're doing. I see you're not that interested. What's the matter? You know, is there another direction? But because I became slower only when I became pregnant. became pregnant, became sober. I was even told one day, oh, I'm going to have to holler at such and such because you slow right now. And I'm like, great. Mm-hmm. If somebody else can get some work done around here besides me, that sounds real good to me. But let me see it, though. Let me make sure let me overlook it. Tell her to email it to me. That's what I said. Right. Good. Great.
Exactly. See those days. Those days where you've been wanting to say that, but you ain't want to hurt your partner's feelings. That's what I'm talking about when you don't have that communication. Y'all communication got to be 100% solid to where you ain't in that zone where you like, yo, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. Where you like, yo, even when you come across and your approach may not be the, I'm going to hold your hand through this, and it's just straightforward. Like, yo, look, you slipping. You ain't wrote nothing in 3 weeks. What are you doing? And it's just that, like it ain't. You ain't trying to find the right words, like when it's
exactly.
That. But when you can't do that, you know what I mean. Let me tell you something. Authors are artists. They're sensitive. So an observer, Miss Just Fine, strikes me as a person that's observant, especially you know from her background where she says she's come from, where she worked. She just strikes me as someone who's observant. When you see that someone is sensitive, especially a man, when a woman sees that a man is sensitive, she will subconsciously try to place an umbrella over that because that's her, especially when it's her man. Like, she'll try to protect that. Women are protectors, and sometimes it backfires and it hurts them.
Yeah, especially like you said, when you're supporting a person. And like you said, you even saw him on days when he's breaking down and he's not quite making it and you're trying to motivate him. But sometimes, I don't know whether people think that you're motivating them, trying to tell them what to do, like, you know, you're trying to be their mama.
That's what Kia said last week. That's what Miss Know-It-All said last week. Like, you, heaven forbid you come off as a bossy chick. Like,
I was liking
that comment last week. Like, that mere fact of being bossy. Oh, I wish Miss Know-It-All was feeling better.
I'm here, but I can't talk. They like you when you handle business for them, but when they in the bedroom. But when it comes to the bills, they don't like that. I want to talk so bad, but I can't get it out. Some booty and vomit.
The gift and the curse.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Erin. What do you think, you know, as male or female, authors and so forth in the game, you know, do you think that it's crossing the line to date, you know, the readers or, you know what I'm saying, take advances or different things like that? Not even if the fact that you're, I don't know, I mean, people meet people how they meet you, but, you know.
I have a gray area with that because, like I was saying in the beginning of the show, I do believe that there are supporters. So when you start talking about taking things from people, like say, for instance, somebody want to do something for your cause, what you're doing as far as literature, you know, and you'd be like, all right, yeah, well, they'd be like, I want to do this for you. Well, it could be anything. Let's just hypothetically say like a banner or something. And be like, oh, well, yeah, it's going to cost this much. And be like, all right, I'm going to pay for this for you. I want to do this for you. And they really just sincerely are just a supporter. Like, they know you got a wife, or you may even be single, but they don't have no ulterior motive behind it. They really just support what you do. Then, yeah, that's a supporter. Now, the groupie is the one who already has the ill intent in their heart, whether it be male or female. Like, they're going to do something for you. They already got the ill intent in their heart. And that's what makes it wrong, the intent of it.
That's exactly the difference.
Yeah. And when you say readers or authors dating readers or whatever, I don't really see nothing wrong with that if they're single, or like if they have an agreement with the reader where the reader knows, like, yo, listen, you know, I'm single and this is what we're doing, but I don't want anybody in our business. I think that sometimes things happen so quickly in those instances because the author may only be in town for one night or two days or whatever, and things happen so quick in instances that you have to be careful with those situations because it could carry on, especially now with social media, like it could carry on into something different. Because if you've been, say you've been conversating with someone on social media for 6 months, I've been back and forth, banter, whatever, this, that, and the third, and you finally show up in their town to sign books and y'all get together or whatever, and then you leave. You know, you're going back to your normal life, what it is you do. You're the author that's selling books, and you really from over here. And you're doing what you're doing over there. Now they may be feeling some kind of way. You know, so you have to be careful. I definitely think it's something that you know, authors need to really approach delicately and not just jump into it, because it could be a very bad situation for you, you know?
That's crazy. What do you think? That bad intent.
Miss
Crazy in Love. How do you feel about that?
It's funny what Aaron was saying about, like, the difference between a groupie and a supporter. 'Cause, I mean, a lot of times people will, they will be a supporter, but you got the cocky authors taking it as, yeah, I'm the shit, this person is a groupie, this person is this. And the story that I was saying that I was going to tell or whatever, at first I'm like, okay, this dude is a groupie. He wasn't really even a groupie. He was coming off as a, he was pretending to be a groupie or pretending to be a supporter maybe. And he wasn't either one of those. He turned out to just actually be a thirsty dude, like pretending to have interest in helping me with my book thing. And that's how he got me. I met him at Horizon. I was doing a signing at Horizon. You know, that's in Philly. That's my hometown. He was a young boy, so I should have known from the beginning. He was like 24, ain't got no damn sense. But I don't remember if he approached me or I approached him or whatever. But I was giving him my spiel about my books and everything like that, and he went and bought one. I signed it up for him. We did the pictures and everything like that. And then afterwards, he was still hanging around. Now, you know, I don't have a problem talking to people. That's what you do at a sign-in. And I'm not rude. I'm like, okay, he just bought a book. You know, I'm going to entertain his questions and things he was asking. It wasn't nothing crazy. He was asking about publishing and stuff like that, you know, asking me how long it takes to write and everything like that. So afterwards, before he leaves, he's like, you know, I'm feeling what you're doing. You from the hometown. I respect people that's pursuing their dream, yada, 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 making it sound real good. He's like, if there's anything that I can do to help you out, let me know. Like, any way I can help you with what you're doing. I'm like, okay, well, you could go on Facebook and tell people about the book. You could post a picture of it. I'm just telling them little stuff like that. And then I'm like, if you really want to help, you could sell some of these books for me, you know, and that way you can even make a couple dollars on the side. So he's like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Acting like he all for it. At that point, I gave him my card. He gave me his number. I gave him my card because I'm like, okay, it's business. It's nothing crazy. And, you know, he hit me up like a couple days later. But he was singing a completely different tune at that time. It wasn't nothing about no book. He was on some, I like you, when can I see you? I'm huh? I thought, what happened to what we was talking about? He didn't want to talk nothing about no books. He's like, I'm trying to get to know you. I'm like, look, man, I'm married. I don't have any interest in you other than what we spoke about back at the bookstore. If you're not interested in that, then just, you know, lose my number.
Right.
That was that. I ain't here for him for a couple weeks. Then out of the blue, he hits me up again. And let me tell you what he did. He sends me a text talking about my man knows your husband, Akbar. So he say his name. Let me know that he know him. If you don't come see me, I'm going to tell my man that I had sex with you, and he going to tell your husband. I'm just sitting there looking at the text like,
oh my
what
goodness.
Just happened? Like, what just happened? So
oh
I text him back, I'm like, why would you make up a lie like that about something? Like, that's corny and desperate. So he texts back again, come over here now, come and holler at me. I got some Ciroc over here. We going to get down, and if you do that, I won't say nothing to my mans. You'll never hear from me again after that. I'm like, huh? I said, that's okay. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. Tell your friend that you had sex with me, a bold-faced lie, so he could tell my husband, because I got the text right here, dumbass. Like, you just hurt yourself. Is he stupid? I forgot what year it was. Like, I couldn't just, I went and showed him right away. I said, look at this. You're going to get a laugh out of this.
Wow.
He just shook his head. He was like, yeah, that's crazy. But he was more so on some, well, you shouldn't have gave him your number. But, I mean, if I thought it was about business, I didn't see nothing wrong with it. But now I know.
Well,
I
that's about business,
you need
though?
Some type of references or something.
Yeah. You have to be very careful. You really, really do. Lord have mercy.
Nene, how do you handle it when you on the road, Nene?
How do I handle it?
Yeah, because you're on the road.
Well, people don't bother me like that. You know, I guess they know who I am. So people don't really bother me. But if people get too close to you, you just have to be firm. You be firm. You state your ground. You state your position. Not in a rude manner. You just let people know, unless they are, too persistent or what so have you. But I also don't give out my number. I give out my cards only have, either email address or how they can reach me on social media. You can email me back and forth, and then we can take care of business through that, because if there's any business and money to be transacted, it's going to be done by PayPal or whatever. So, yeah, you just have to see, you have to pick and choose your battles. Like, you meet somebody who you definitely know, has a business that you can, deal in and stuff. You have to, pick and choose, but you can't just pass your number out, especially on certain levels of the game. But, yeah, I'm pretty, I'll be doing my book thing, so nobody really bothers me like that. But if, you get a person every so often, they're a little bit zealous, and you just have to, handle them.
That's a nice little preventative tip, though. Like, make sure you have those business cards with that whole social media presence in the email, because if that's what it is, then you can get me that way. Maybe if it's a special kind of scenario, you could just handwrite your number and you can kind of keep control over it. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I should have gave him one of my little postcards that don't have the number. I gave him my business card.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. Yeah, but, sometimes it does happen. People do get overzealous, and people will, come to signings that you're at all the time and stuff and hang around. So it all depends. You have real diehard readers, and they, they get honored at the fact that they can actually be, around the authors. And I enjoy every second of that. That's, like the best part, But like what you're saying is you have people who are proclaiming to say that their industry or whatever and, get these false relationships with people and, cross some lines. In your case, Cheryl, folks understood it and clearly knew, the fact that he was, with someone, and for her to be in the same industry with him, knowing he had somebody and then, go forward like that, I think that's a different type of situation, versus you having, someone who admires your work and coming around and just trying to, just be close to you or near to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Definitely. Two different scenarios all together.
It turns a corner there, especially if somebody knows. You know what I'm saying? Because once you know, you can't change what you know. But then, people have to make adult decisions on both ends. And it's like, I'm from here. You can't really be mad at, the other person pursuing if they're also being pursued and have no real knowledge. You can't blame a person. But if a person done sat down with you, they done ate at your dinner table, they done been with you like that, that's a whole different type of situation, and you have to be able to evaluate how that goes, when those types of things happen. But, like, it's hard to tell. It's real hard to tell, especially, like you said, you have a person who pursues a person when they know. So I don't know. What you think, Aaron?
I was just about to ask Ms. Just Fine, like, what did she think about this? And who? Because I remember last week you were saying that you immediately went home and packed all his things, so you didn't hold any? Did you hold any type of ill feelings towards the woman, or was it strictly immediately towards him?
It was a little bit of both. Because at one point, when you're when you first discover something, and then she just so happened to cross my path, in the midst of it with, like, her version of a book cover. She actually prepared a book cover and started to sell it, you know, like asking people on Facebook, so what do you guys think of this book cover I just helped create? And I had to ask them, why is this woman so comfortable? You know, like, we run everything by each other. Why? How does she think she can be so comfortable with putting up a draft? You guys were both sending me an email. I gave her suggestions on revisions. Like, why is she putting it up on Facebook? All of it happened in the course of just one day. You know, that was all I needed because she was way too comfortable. Way too comfortable. You know what I'm saying? For someone who's supposed to be working for our team. I you know, you sent me an email. Like, the email came from him, and it was both of them on it. I mean, like, you know, that's what I thought. You know, that's how come I found it to be really grimy. But like how I said last week, the queen never gets off the throne for no one. And I look at them two now as little court gestures. Like, you know, I mean, if you that underhanded, you can send me an email. I could be told what your fee is. You know, things like that. It's just beyond me even being in the midst of it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need to be a catalyst. I didn't need to be the fuel. I'm not even going to give you two something in common because they only got like 2 months in. They only got 2 months in. It's not like, you know what I mean? Just had a sermon in the winter where they met. So that's how come I said, yes, you know, people get fooled by the perception, things like that. You just give them what they want because I felt that it was just so underhanded, so grimy. You know, I was told at one point, I'm moving too slow. I'm going to just have to get with her to get some work done. Okay, you know, you threw it in my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, to hurt me at one point, because I'm pregnant, not only do I work two jobs, you know, I'm trying to help you with your creative process, but if, you know, you feel better with throwing her in my face, fine. It don't really matter to me. Do what you got to do. You the author. You know, you can stand to do some work. I just didn't like how it was done. So, yeah, going home and throwing everything away, and then that very same night telling her my gift to you. By all means, keep it. Keep them. Have them. Start over, bitches. Exactly what I said. Start over, bitches. Because, I mean, if you can cut checks, if you can do what I do better, and if he thinks that, you know, then my look, we all got one life to live. More power to you both. I removed myself from the situation because I don't even want to be the common denominator in this silly-ass equation. I'm going to let y'all two be happy. Try and be happy. Yeah, if you got to go about it that way, I mean, and still try to get money from me, that already told me what kind of woman you are. You know what I mean? To let me know what your fee is? Man, you two heckle and jekyll birds, you two deserve one another. And we never, the three of us never spoke again. Never spoke again from February 25th. Never spoke again. It's no reason for me to speak.
So he doesn't try to reach out to you and, like, you know, see if you're okay, you know, with the baby or anything. He doesn't have anything to say. He says,
no, not at all, which makes it sad, what makes it unfortunate. And I can't pretend that didn't hurt me because we were both so excited of our son's birth. But at the same time, you know, I can take my gift and run. I can take my gift and run.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is.
And that's them damn groupies.
That's them damn groupies. Give them what they want. Let's see what happens when you give them what they want. Give them what they want. Let's see how it happens. Because right now he's so angry with his family. That's like a clear sign to me that maybe things aren't as green, you know, the grass isn't as green as he might have thought. Because if you were with the person of your dreams, what are you angry for?
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how that's going to play out. But, you got to keep us posted.
As of February 25th, we have spoken,
Who do you think is to blame in a situation like that? Like, say, you know, an author's out you know, dealing with groupies or whatever, and they're in a relationship or they're married or whatever, and maybe even people know, who's to blame? Let's just say the people do know. Who's to blame? Is it the person or is it the author?
I don't know.
People going to be people. It's up to the person in the relationship to uphold the integrity of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, do you blame the home wrecker or do you blame the man for allowing the home to be wrecked? I mean, even though both are at fault, at the end of the day, you know, he had the choice. He chose to go. He's the one risking it. The home wrecker, that's what she do.
Exactly.
That's her job.
With the house falling apart.
That's rough. That's rough. You know what
but
I'm saying?
But that's why I think you should just always just, for me, the best thing to do is just to remove myself from the whole situation. A caller made a very interesting insight last week and said, didn't you see signs? And I swear, you know, I wish I could say every single thing. Yeah, you know, there were signs, and there were things that I did try to handle, I spoke on, defended myself with, but I never had anything tangible in my hands, you know what I'm saying, until that fateful 2 days, the February 24th, when I'm getting the invoice, I'm making suggestions, and then I asked to meet her face-to-face. I asked to set up a meeting. You know, he kept doing things around me, you know, which made it a little odd. You know, it wasn't, like he wasn't doing anything at one point. And then the next thing, it was a sudden burst just for like the end of January and February. So I said, we need to set up a meeting because I'm thinking I'm talking business.
Right.
Yeah, you're talking square biz. They
talk
web-based
TV. Yes. So, I mean, just with the one time somebody says, nah, you don't need to meet her, how do you don't need to meet the person we're about to pay? Like, all of that just was like, no. And, you know, it just took 2 days for me. You know, just took 2 days for me to just say, have a nice life. But it hurt, though, because we were together. It just was like, wow.
And, there's a baby involved in this situation,
The main thing. He just couldn't, maybe he's a character. I mean, you haven't looked at it like that? Like, maybe he was playing a role, and he just couldn't hold a facade and couldn't keep up with the script. I mean, that's how I had to look at it, like, maybe the story he was trying to sell to himself, he could no longer do it. I mean, I look at things, I pray on things, but now I think maybe with 90 days, maybe some that magical number Steve Harvey fell out there, maybe in 90 days it'll be a faded memory. But, I mean, right now I have to say, well, damn, because this is obviously who this person was. I was deceived for a minute. This is obviously who this person was, because who could deny a baby coming?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. That's definite. Now, let me ask you a question, Ms. Just Fine. Now, looking back in hindsight, because I'm sure you've had a lot of hindsight, is there anything besides the signs you should have picked up, is there anything that you look at that you may have done to trigger an outside interest for him?
That's a good one.
When you do look at things and you see how you can actually be doing more harm than good, that's how I started to feel. That's a hard one, Aaron, because I know I was just trying to be supportive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if speaking up for myself is a bad thing, then I'm going to always be wrong, you know, because I was speaking up for myself with little attacks about my self-image and my pregnancy look and little stupid things. Like, nobody is stupid when you see when somebody is trying to pick a fight with you. you know, out of nowhere, I went from being the best thing since sliced bread to now you picking on me. I mean, and it wasn't that much of it. I'm not going to sit here and exaggerate, but the one or two times when it just wasn't necessary or it wasn't called for. And I guess where I was at fault was because this particular person, to know him, he enjoys being turned up. That's his, like, new mantra. And for me, I'm trying to be like, turn on up. It's not a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Like, turning up for me isn't a lifestyle. We don't want to be turned up 24 hours. You know what I mean? So that's where she came into play because, remember, she does party promoting. She does little bullshit-ass little club venues, I've come to find out. So, I mean, it's like I'm pregnant, I'm at home, and I'm working, and I'm teaching, and I'm doing all kinds of other things. If it was a matter of maybe me being slow, maybe me not fitting the lifestyle he was looking forward to, you know, thinking he's out in an industry, he's dealing with an industry chick, maybe he got turned on by that. You know, that glitz and glam. You got to remember, he hasn't even, you know, he was incarcerated, too. So it's easy for anything that glitters to look like gold.
Yeah.
But I know better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact that I was talking encouragingly. And then even if I had to get sharp, you got sharp with me, I'm got to get sharp with you. We worked through it. But with business
now,
let me
ask you a question. Let me ask you another question. The first time, because you said that it wasn't an ongoing thing, the first time he did say something that was out of character for him, that was disrespectful towards you, what was your internal feeling? I don't mean what you may have said to him outwardly. What was your internal feeling? What didn't you say?
Well, my internal feeling, to be quite honest, I stopped arguing. When someone said to me, we don't need to set up a meeting, I didn't argue anymore.
No, I'm not speaking about that. I'm talking about when you were saying he was being speaking things about your pregnancy and your look or whatever, and you were saying, like, that really wasn't
him. Oh, well,
I
shut that down. Yeah, I shut it down because I was like, I kindly said one day, you don't get to shake my self-image or my confidence. So I really don't know what's going on with you. Because I looked at it like that was a personal thing, and it didn't have anything to do with me. Because if you were to see me right now at 8 months, people don't even think I'm pregnant.
I didn't think you were pregnant when I saw you. I was like, I'm not pregnant.
Exactly. Like, I'm so happy that my little boy and me, you know, like, this is it comes with the territory, the little throwing up, or, you know, something don't agree with you. But I'm telling you, like, I feel great. I'm just exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't. It's like, you know, you just put somebody in a place. I just happened to just say, like, you don't get to shake me. But I mean, when you know something is really, really wrong, just that one time you spoke to me in a real disrespectful manner, that was really the big disrespect. Because when you tell me what you're not going to do, it's your book. I'll deal with who I want to deal with. There set me trembling because I knew what was going to have to do. It was going to either be shit or get off the pot. I knew right then and there because I started trembling that a decision was going to have to be made. And it's just, I think, with women get like that intuition that's real strong. And either you ignore it.
That intuition again.
Yeah, intuition is real because I started trembling. I already knew. With some people already started telling me that same day, like, did you see his post? He's starting to be a little disrespectful. I didn't realize until the 24th that I was blocked, but by the 25th, he was gone. You know what I mean? Because when did you think to block me? Like, if you got to do all of that, live your life. Live your life. I'm not even trying.
That was extreme. That was extreme.
It was a bit extreme. So, you know, just when I got that intuition and started trembling because I was really calling bluffs. I was really calling bluffs by the time I'm saying, let's hook up. Let's look over this cover together as, a, you know, the three of us, maybe at her office. Or where does she do business?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, so you was going to get your read. You was going to get your read on.
Exactly.
So watch your man around this woman. Yeah,
so
nobody,
I just
needed nobody
to really see.
Basically had to tell you anything after that.
Exactly. But when he didn't even want it to transpire, and I shut down from that point on, I said, no problem. Then I guess as men do, they get scared. And then he started trying to apologize. He wanted to smooth it out. Oh, I'm just stressed out right now. You're not got a lot on my mind, a lot on my plate. I'm not even responding to texts now because I know now I'm going to have to look. I didn't want to look, but I know now I'm going to have to look. And then the next day I decided to just look on Facebook, and I was actually able to see.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Uh-huh. And you know what? I think that's another thing, too, that too much of this social media thing plays a role.
Yeah.
Into a lot of the groupie behavior. And I'm not saying that you know, like, I feel like, it, you know, the person who may be labeled as a groupie, because I'm just using that word as for a specific characteristic, which, you know, is inside these people that have this ill intent. When you deal on social media with that, it gets crazy because it's too open.
But Aaron, do you think that the social media has made it like that? Like, because, you know, I mean, I'm quite sure it was always, you know, someone who may admire someone a little more. But do you think it makes it easier for it to happen, or it gives people a certain type of exposure so it's more prone to happen? Like, is the social media like a hookup spot, or, you know, a way for people to easily, you know, do whatever because they have this access?
Yeah, the access. That's what it is. Like, say, I mean, if you already intrigued with somebody or something,
right,
and then you come in contact with it, or you're able to have access to it, then your admiration for it is gonna grow. Like, if you was to go right now and go on your Twitter and be like, "Yo, Oprah just retweeted one of my tweets." Like, that's going to be like, "Yo, Oprah just retweeted one of my tweets." You know what I mean? It's not going to be like, somebody retweeted one of my tweets. Like, it's going to have a different significance. So when people read these books and they really love the book, it may start right there. That may be the seed. They love the book. Then they access you. "Hey, hello, how you doing? I read your book. I liked it, boom, boom. Oh, thank you a lot." You know, and as authors, too, this is how it may start, innocently enough, because we love to talk about our work. So we may be like, "How did you like it? How'd you like it? Oh, well, I liked it, this part. Well, I ain't like when you did this. Why did you make this person like this?" Like, "Oh, nah," because, and then it may stray away from the book, but not really meaning to, but almost innocently, like, "Oh, well, you know, I made her like that because you know how women are. You know how y'all women be doing this, then." So now it's kind of away from the book with just that little statement. Like, once you take it away, like, "Oh, I made her like that because you women are." And if this woman can further identify with you, now the intrigue may grow because now she's engaging you beyond the book, and she's still finding common ground. And vice versa with women authors and men. When you keep finding common ground with a person, the intrigue and the closeness is going to grow. And that's what happens with the accent. You know what I mean? So you have to be careful of that. You have to be responsible. Like, I joke, flirt, and all that all day online. I do it openly. That's my protection shield, because I'm a terrible flirt. So I know I probably can't stop just overnight. So I just do it openly, because now it's like I'm not targeting nobody. Like, "Look, I'm not targeting you. If you into this and we flirt with this, this is all flirtatious. We playing. I'm not targeting anyone. You know, but I still want to be me." That's my story.
I think with social media, it's just the home of the braveless. I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it, because people sit behind those keyboards, and, you know, it's just the home of the braveless. I don't really like for it. I mean, think about what Miss Crazy in Love just went through. Like, the dummy didn't even understand or realize you putting your stuff in writing.
all I did right now, like, I planted their whole exchange. I saw when it was business. I saw when she was asking, hey, you got any people you can bring, thinking he can maybe rev up. I saw that they both was looking to rev up their own interests. You know, like, I'll support you. You support me. You know, that's how it started. But look at how what just happened with Miss Crazy in Love. Like, somebody was going to try and twist her arm. Because people are not brave. They, you know, they get to be punks on technology.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's been a lot of breakups, a lot of discoveries, like affairs discovered, and all. And you know, social media actually, you know, it's the gift and the curse once again, because If you have a mate or a spouse or someone who's cheating on you and social media wasn't available to you, then it may take you a lot longer to find out, or you may never find out. You know, social media be starting to make people be a little bit bolder, too, because it puts pressure because you got people tugging at the fibers of you, like, yo, well, people need to know about us, you know, and things like that, or you may want to say something. Like, instead of walking around in your head like, man, I really like her, you might just go on Facebook and say it, or go on social media and say it, and, you know, wife may be like, hey, he don't talk like that. Who he talk about? If she really know you like that. Like, that's why I say everything got to be, you got to be knowing your mate. Like, I know by the word choices that my mate use when something's wrong or what. Like, I'm that much of a reader, because I'm not going to be closing my eyes next to you at night and I don't know what's going on with you. Like, because that makes me uncomfortable. I'll be pacing the floor. I won't be able to sleep, you know. So, you know, I'm very observant in that manner.
No, because, I mean, for me, my pictures was on his Instagram page. You know, any little event where we went or something, I might not need him to. I mean, I've never needed a group or society, a sorority. I've never needed anybody to identify who I am. I already know who I am. So, no, I was comfortable in my skin of, no, he don't have to shout out 24 hours a day that I'm his sweetheart, because there was times where he would be like, my lady. You know what I'm saying? He didn't like social media that much. We both used to laugh, and we both shared the same view. I guess it was when it became what he wanted it to be for him. You know, it was a nice little sneaky way to kind of holler at somebody to get to pick him up. I mean, granted, she had a phone that couldn't allow text and pictures. I mean, I would have ran away from that. Like, I can't even text you. I can't even text you guys. He's telling her, and this is as what I'm reading in a Facebook inbox. You know, I'm like, yo, what's up with your house phone? Do the house phone work? Like, I'm like, who wants to even be with someone, like, who can't get a text or a picture? That's when you got to laugh and say, you know what? You think the grass is greener, by all means, enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? But there was a time, and you want to know something, that's where I went wrong. Because when my best friend started to say, hey, your social media presence is diminishing. And the way I look at social media, I'm like, well, I don't need him validating who I am. I know who I am. He says it to anybody who comes his way. I mean, he says it online. I've seen him. He does it. Like, chill. But that was a sign. That was a sign, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a sign. In your particular case, ladies out there, please do not put your track shoes on with that and start listening to your girlfriend, because your girlfriend will get you in trouble as well.
And that's where I was trying to decipher, though. You know, I was like, come on, don't do that. You already know how I feel about social media. It's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? I wasn't really trying to hear nobody. But the thing is, the bigger thing is that I think I was meant to learn a lesson. I think I was meant to know how to love. I know love will come back to me, but I think I was taught. It was something that I have to learn. It was a particular lesson that I have to learn in how to deal with people. And now probably just listening to Nene, you know, just learning a new little business tool, a new little tip, because the show will go on. He left the publishing company, but I am so into this industry. I like it. I like the people who I've met. I'm looking at this as my publishing company could be what I leave to his son. You know what I'm saying? Maybe my son will run it. My daughter will run it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how I'm looking at things.
Right. Yeah. And that's what it's about. Yeah, stuff, you know, stuff happens and circumstances come about, but you always have to be looking for, you know, what lesson have I learned, and you have to move on, you know what I'm saying, and move forward, because it's too much at risk to stand still. You know what I'm saying? You got, you know, people depending on you and looking forward to you being successful so that they will, you know, also be successful. And, yes, that's true. But, yeah, it's all good. It's all good, but that line gets crossed, and it's just crazy. Go ahead, Aaron.
And on the flip side of the pitch, like, I don't know if y'all was ever looking at it this way, but, you know, I'm listening to everything that's going on. Like, we talk about book groupies, but that could have been an author groupie move. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes people become starstruck. Like, some stars become so bright that they fall out the sky. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that could have been an author groupie move. Like, there's author groupies out there, too. You know,
explain that concept a little bit deeper, like an author groupie.
Like, you know, an author out there, like, preying on women in the sense of, because like I said, like, and I hope no women don't take this in the wrong way, but this is just the truth. Like, a woman doesn't want a dummy. And when a woman sees a man that can, you know, put his words together well or speak intelligently or whatever, That's going to become an attraction, because who wants to talk to a person who can't put their words together?
It's impressive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And especially to a woman, because she's more keen to knowledge and intellect. So when that happens, the person who has that intellect may not have the responsibility of it. Like, there's some people that take things like that for granted because they'd be like, I could do it. Like, it means nothing to them because it just seems like it's just natural. And through that, having no responsibility with it, they become irresponsible, and irresponsibility brings about weakness. And they become weak to their own strengths. And they'll just fall into a groupie mode. Like, instead of being the author and being the thinking, the keen thinking the situation, the person that's supposed to have the good thoughts and the responsibility and the good nature and keeping it, you know, business, they'll become a victim of their own admiration. Like, for instance, let me give you a scenario. Like, Hitler. Hitler was a victim of his own admiration. Hitler was a very puny guy. He wore the same clothes. He was teased often by his peers. You know, he was more or less a coward in the army, and it just ended up speaking up about the collapse of Germany after Russia, after the war, and they're sitting around and they're all beat up at that, and his voice was strong, and he was able to speak and push propaganda about how to get Germany back on its feet to fight again. And the heart of Germany, and the people around started seeing this propaganda, and people started getting behind him, like, yeah, say this, go tell the people that. And it became, people started admiring this puny little character so much that he became overwhelmed with himself, and he was his own destruction in the end.
So, Cheryl, do you think that that's what he did? You think that that's what it was for him? Like, he had so much admiration in himself and so much, you know, esteem, that maybe he stalked her down. Maybe she didn't stalk him down. Do you think he could have actually been the groupie?
I love Aaron's take on it. I love Aaron's perspective, because that was the person who I was starting to watch. Like, you definitely hit something. Like the arrogance, that self-admiration. I mean, at one point, you should always feel proud of your project. Who wouldn't want to see something that they've been working on for 10 years or 3 years, 6 years, because it was years for him coming to fruition. Because I have not spoken to him since then, it would have been one thing if he would have we would have spoke, I got busted, or I didn't want to be there, and this is, you know, we didn't have a talk. But that admiration, oh, man, I saw it, you know? I saw it becoming like a little bit of a monster, a little bit of a monster, where I even commented to a girlfriend, like, yo, I think this Negro think he doing me a favor. You know, I made a comment like that. You know I didn't say Negro.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you looking at somebody's shift, I'm like, woo. You know, I saw that, and I actually said that. And I actually had to point out to somebody, you're not that special. You know what I'm saying? Like, calm down with it. You guys, we won't know until it should ever be revealed. But, when you said it, Aaron, I just started shaking my head on the other line right here. I just started shaking my head because I was watching it. I was watching that grow at the tables, watching it.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, you got to be aware that, like, you got to understand, like, people be wanting success, but success is like love, you know what I mean? Like, it ain't always good. It's not always
good. Yeah, it's like
good,
success,
you know,
at what cost?
Yeah, you gotta have a specific type of character to be able to handle success.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if you don't, it'll destroy you.
Yeah.
No.
You do, because it works both ways. And, you know, again, even to, you know, the readers who are able to get to authors that other people can't, like, you know, certain places you go, we have certain readers that always come to every event, you know what I'm saying? So they can get to us more, you know, than some others, especially if you repeat spots, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, they have, and I think it also helps them feel really good, too, about themselves, you know, gives them a confidence or what so have you. So I think it do work both ways, Aaron, when you look at it from, you know.
I've heard a lot of people who just get so caught up with your characters, though, like they actually lose sight of who you guys are as authors. Like, it sounds hard to believe. I know it sounds hard to believe, but do people really, really go all out like that? Like, they lose the fact that this was a book.
I think it's more so in the case of male authors because, you know, they write, you know, the character that the women fall in love with, and if it's a male author that produces it, I think that sometimes they may actually think that the male is actually like that because, you know, our readership is very, very strong in with women. You know, women are reading, you know, like crazy. Not that men aren't reading, but, you know, women are definitely reading. And the characters that they love and enjoy, a lot of them are created by, you know, their favorite male authors. I mean, it's kind of hard for them to walk up to me and say, you know, refer to me as K-San, even though they love him. They'll talk about him. But because I'm a female that created a male character, it's a different feeling. You know what I'm saying? But when you have these male authors who are creating these wonderful characters, they're saying things that women want to hear, that they love to hear. They're handling a woman the way women want to be handled. And when they see them, I think they get like, oh, my God, like that was you. That was you, you know, because you put yourself into those characters as an author, you know. And I think sometimes it may go too far like that and create that extra fascination or that extra wonder, you know, like, wow, is he really like that? Like, do he really kiss like that? Do he really so-and-so like that? You know what I'm saying? So it can be like that. Aaron, what do you think?
Definitely. It's definitely like, you know, and like you were saying, like, you could create a male character that have them, you know, they'll be in love with the character that you created, but you're a female, so In another woman's mind, they're like, you know, this is what all women dream of. So, of course, Nene can nail it. But if I nail it, if I nail it, then it's like, okay, this is what women dream of. Aaron knows this. So Aaron might be the man of my dreams, you know, type of difference. You know, so it's like, I definitely get what you're saying. It's definitely going to be a different approach. Because of the way that it's presented, a male presented, if a male nails it, then they'll believe that person exists within their persona, even if they were just creating that type of male character to follow along with this specific storyline. It's you guys' fault.
It's all you guys' fault who create the groupies. No. It's y'all. It's the author's fault.
No.
She's my life.
The equivalent of an actor. When an actor plays a role and you love the character so much that you start loving the actor because of the character they played.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type deal, except if it's a woman, a female author, you're like, okay, well, you know, she can't play a male character or whatever. And if the book is that good and it's reading like a movie like that, it definitely does have an effect. So, yeah, like Aaron said, when you see that it's coming from a male author, yeah, it could do that. It could definitely do that.
Yeah.
But and that's the sad thing when it comes to women. Like, we all know, it could have been a victim of it. You had a crush. Women will have a crush on a stranger for 6 months. You know, be
very imaginative.
Be dreaming about the dude that they just walked past, and if he appeared to be everything you idolized, you're dreaming about this dude for 6 months. He ain't said jack to you. You done fell so in love, and you done made up all kinds of stuff in your head how y'all was going to be. You reading that story. Like, women are, you know, bless their heart, you know, that's what happens. Women are loving.
Mm-hmm. Hopeless romantics.
Hopeless
romantics. They like to fantasize.
Yeah. Well, you know, you want to. You know, you want to be able to fantasize. You want to be able to, you know, believe in love. And I think that's one of the great things about our genre is that we have people speaking the way we speak, telling, you know, stories the way we want to tell them. And, you know, throwing it down, you know, the way a woman wants to be spoken to. And it's kind of hard to separate that, you know what I'm saying, especially when people aren't getting that or they haven't found that yet, they haven't found that love. And to read about people, like, for example, you got Wahida Clark's series with, you know, Tasha and Trey, and it's like they want them to, they've been rooting for them to be something for all these years. Like, they want to believe in that love, that kind of love. They want to believe that kind of love exists, and if it exists, that means maybe I can have it. And you can run into the person that has created this vision on these pages, and it's like, this has to be in this person to, you know, create, you know, such words, or, you know, to write such situations, you know, and it can become a fascination, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but that's crazy. That's something.
Those damn book groupies.
They have the world going around, and they make the world go around.
Can't
have the bad without the good,
I mean,
the good without the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask y'all, are y'all aware of a certain author / publisher, a male, who apparently he's notorious with getting with book groupies and getting with authors that he signs? And, I mean, just all types of things that I've heard. Actually, a couple months ago, somebody started following me on Instagram, and it was all about him and his company, and the pictures and the captions were just crazy. And it was like, this is him with his author / baby mom. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah,
this is crazy.
And women were pregnant, and you're like, yo, this is so-and-so.
What?
She was such and such pregnant. She went and had the abortion.
I've seen that.
I got invited to that page,
shit.
Too. Yeah, crazy. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Whoever did that, whoever it was all authentic. And the reason I say that is because all of these pictures, none of these pictures were of the people, like if you were friends with them on Facebook or something, these were not pictures that you've seen on Facebook. Like, clearly this person had access to pictures that, Yeah, I've seen that.
Wow.
That was kind of crazy. Yeah, it goes on. That got deep because it was a long, long page, a list.
What's a whole bunch. Like, was that book groupie? Or was it someone in the company sales? Or
I don't
what?
Know.
I have no
a book
idea.
Groupie, a book groupie, a vindictive
it probably
woman,
was.
Someone hurt.
Somebody was definitely hurt, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seemed like somebody that was hurt to me. It sounded like a seemed like a wounded animal. Because they was going in.
Wow.
Like, it was serious.
So wait, yeah, this person was exposed. It was like a little expose of everything that was going down. Because I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they always talk about that. They always talk about that man and his company. I'm always hearing something about him.
Hmm.
So I wouldn't even be surprised if this is all just some kind of ploy for publicity.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was a long page.
A long page.
I didn't believe it because I'm like, the caption is like, how you going to say this is her after she went to go get her abortion? Come on, that just sounds, that's a little too far-fetched. Like,
wow.
Where you get that picture?
Yeah, how does somebody catch somebody coming back from something like that? I don't, unless she took her.
Or, hey, now let's not play. You know y'all women get emotional. And she might have took a selfie and be like, yeah, I just came from the doctor. Don't act like that. I just left the doctor. This bitch-ass nigga, I should go blow him up. And yeah, you know women to do that. You know what I mean? So that could have been a selfie or two. Right? Yeah, I'm not that. Hey,
I guess anything is possible these days.
For real.
Wow.
Right.
That's crazy. That's taking it to a whole other level.
Yeah, that was like, you know what, though, I'm going to say about that. One thing I did not like about that, and this is all jokes aside, it's real, is that whoever did it, they even, you know, they had his seeds up there, too. That shit wasn't cool.
Yeah,
like, you don't be playing around with nobody's kids. You know what I mean? Like, people, but you know what? People starting to play around their own kids on these social media sites. But really, like, that was crazy. That's the one thing I ain't dig that. Like, you don't start doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. What can you say? People, you know, they do certain things. You know, sometimes stuff happens and people do certain things. You put stuff out there, stuff come back on you. But, you know, like we always say, people should be a man or be a woman enough to talk to the person if you got a problem with them. You know what I'm saying? Handle it with that man or that woman, you know, versus, you know, the way people do stuff now. You find out, like you said, you find out all on Facebook and social media versus him, Cheryl, you know, being a man and coming to you and saying, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be together with you anymore. I think that we can both move on. I mean, because people is grown. And that's what usually, you know, stokes my furnace. I'm like, if you grown, if you're an adult, you have no need to lie. So just go for it. You know what I'm saying? Just go ahead. Like, you grown.
Right.
So what? What you gonna do? Beat me? You know what I'm saying? I'm grown. So if I'm leaving, I'm leaving. If you staying, you staying. Just be a man or a woman enough to tell a person, you know, versus embarrass them or humiliate them by your actions.
Yeah, that's where it became
brandy. I hate that.
Yeah. Go ahead. What would you say? I'm just fine.
No, because, because that's where it went. That's where I knew I kind of had to take the underground approach. Because even within that same week, you went from telling me at one point, you know, how come, even when I would bring that up, you know, or somebody would bring it up to him, maybe at dinner or whatever, and it's like, oh, you know, she's good. You know, we both know what it is, you know. Because, you know, I got a female audience, I got this following, blah, blah, blah. And then in the next breath, you started posting up 1,000 pictures of your crush and the new love of your life and your queen, and family and friends actually rejected it. See, you just when you thought, you know, you had that validation on social media, you really thought you were the man, the backlash that he received was so overwhelming for him. Like, he started, fighting and arguing with people on social media while I was quiet, while I didn't say anything. I never even tried to attack neither one of them. You know, I said my piece in the heat of my anger, and then I just relinquished it right then and there. So it made me feel good in a roundabout way that as much as you love social media, now it's like what Malcolm X said, the roosters aren't came home to roost. People went
put
at
him right
like,
back in check.
Yeah, people went at him like, yo, we just saw you at a concert. We were all together as a group. How you going to do that to her? I didn't have to fight. That was the beauty about it. Thanks, social media. I didn't have to fight because people who knew me knew what I stood for, knew the kind of woman I was, saw how I did a, you know, like a, just for his birthday. It was a surprise party. They came and paid homage, you know, and respected and supported, spent their money, bought books, you know. He actually can't take right now. That's how come he's, that's where I'm like, it's like it was like the perfect remedy. You know, you give somebody what they wanted. She wants him. She can have him. I choose not to fight because sometimes to not fight is the way to win the fight.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And that's exactly what I chose to do. And everybody else, his beloved social media fan base, within a week, I saw he lost 100 followers. Someone told me he lost 100 followers within, like, a matter of a couple of days. That right there showed me, like, wow, the power of social media. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be careful when you, like I said, it's a thing where you got to do authors. You got to be careful because you might get caught up in a situation where, like you said, the same way your main audience is women. When you do something that's crazy, like certain things you do to a woman, all women gonna look at it as a crime. You know, you about to get prosecuted for real. Like seriously, like it's just certain things that you do to women,
look
like.
At, like what's right is what's right, you know what I'm saying? And what's wrong is what's wrong. And when you look at, you know, the situation, I mean, without knowing all of the facts of what we hear, it does not sound right. You know what I'm saying? So what do you say in a situation
true.
Like that? I mean,
I don't know.
Come
we
on.
Got a
I mean,
caller.
It's evident.
Oh, we had a caller.
It's definitely evident, you know, and the blatant disrespect was the daggone deal breaker.
But maybe that leads to the admiration, that self-admiration he had. You know, like he really thought he could take it that far. He became a little author, had a little fan base, and it went to his head and thought, like, he can be that disrespectful. That could, I mean, that just can lead to that whole, that author groupie thing. Like, his head got that big that you think that now you can kind of hurt anybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And think that there still be love and respect and support, but social media shut them down.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
That's
gotta
bonkers.
Gotta be careful and be just jumping out there, running into relationships with people, because at any given moment, they get in their feelings. You might have your whole career on the line.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, digging a career. His whole career probably on the line now, huh? Oh Lord.
Well, yes, not really though, because he'll be a little author of my publishing company. Because, I will promote the book that I paid for.
Oh man, so you got rights. You got rights on this guy.
Mm-hmm. So he does all that, and knowing that you have control of everything.
Yeah, he chose to relinquish his rights to the company. That's what, he wrote it, said he no longer is interested. I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. And at first, I did want to say, you know, I don't want nothing to do with anything. It was, you know, a vision I was pulled into. But you want to know something? He can so willingly give it up because it was never his to begin with. Like, it was his idea. It was his dream. But did he really, really work real hard for his dream? I mean, it must not have been that important if you could give it up for a trick, you know, just for
it
because you
want
more. Yeah,
I'm thinking, there's no way I would do that. That's crazy.
So when I really looked at it, and I just looked at it just the other day, I said it was always my publishing company. I guess, you know, like it was always, because at first I'm like, this was your baby. This was your story. So I guess it really wasn't that important to him. Mm. You know, once he got that little bit of glitz and glam, it ran to his head. But now he's off and running to the next thing. So I said, you know what, I guess it's so easy to walk away because he never claimed it. He never must have really, really claimed all of the wonderful things that was happening for him. You know, his family having respect for him, his friends, you know, people were really, really trying to be supportive and really coming to the rescue and really trying to see where he was going. People were intrigued, and maybe that scared him.
Yes,
you know what, too, plus,
go ahead.
Plus, you were like a savior, too, you know, so, like, you swooped him up. You genuinely cared for him. You loved him. And, you know, you took his dream. You made it both of yours. And somewhere within that, like, he got lost. Like, he lost his passion because he started seeing other things. Like, sometimes people don't really be focused, especially people that be in and out of prison or coming out of prison. Like, they be having these thoughts when they in jail, like, I want to do this. But
yeah,
they can't stick to it. You know what I mean? Like, they're not ready, or they don't have the character to just carry that responsibility out, because there's a lot of things that come with responsibility that a person in jail won't see, because in jail there's really not much responsibility.
Mm-hmm. You give a person what they ask for and see what they do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously,
yeah.
You give a person what
yeah.
they ask for. When people, they want fame and fortune and success, and it's like what you said earlier, Aaron, when they get it, can't handle it. Now, by no all means, he's not, like, catapulted into, you know, into the atmosphere, but I thought it was a great start for someone who claimed, who sold, who told me, only you can mess this up. I'm in this relationship. This is where I want to be forever. Only you can mess it up. You know, when I tried to be conscientious and careful and, you know, because I'm a mother and things like that, and I was taking my time, and I was told, don't take your time. Like, you're all right. You're safe with me. You know, and it was a big act, actually. But when you give somebody what they ask for, you wanted a book, and within a little over a year's time, when I saw, and I only jumped in, Aaron, when I saw nobody was really helping him. But maybe that was a sign that I didn't get to wholeheartedly see. Why is there nobody helping him? You know what I'm saying? You have friends who wrote books. Why do the people not share the information with you? It's just that when I was seeing somebody and I'm doing well in my businesses and in my ventures and stuff, I felt sorry. Like, well, let me make some calls for you. That's how I actually got pulled in. You know what I mean? It wasn't really initially my dream. And then I read the story. I loved the story and I believed in it. But sometimes it's just like that. You give somebody what they ask for. They don't appreciate it.
And that's crazy.
People
maybe
have to
you
find
know,
their own value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what, too? It may have just been giving you what you asked for, because, you know, sometimes we pray, we ask for things and what so have you, put stuff in the universe of things that we want, but then we don't realize the path we have to go on to get it. You know what I'm saying? And even though he may have been, you know, the star player in that particular, you know, portion of the game, it was just that, you know what I'm saying? He had to get you to this point or whatever, because now you're on a whole different motivation. You have a different mindset. So even in his treachery, even in his, you know, his deception and his ugliness, you know, he has put you on a different path that you know, didn't think you wanted to be on, but you're going to do great things in. So, yeah, in that aspect, you know, it is what it is.
Because the creative process is an amazing creative process. I mean, you guys should – I know how you all feel. You must feel like that when you see, like, something you nurtured really, you know, take off. It's like your child. It's your baby.
Definitely.
I'm sure you guys feel like that when you see the final book cover.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I get so excited. Before I even get it in my hand, just seeing the picture of it gets you excited. Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
the truth.
Mm-hmm. And see, for me, I used to be a dancer. So I like being in the studio. I worked in the music industry for years. So that whole creative process is amazing to me. It's a little bit of a buzz for me. You know, that whole behind the scenes kind of work. I enjoy that. I didn't realize how much I liked it, you know, until this all really blew up. And then I was going to walk away from it and said, nah, don't. Just don't.
Right. But let me ask you something. Do you think that you could have been a little bit groupie-ish and blinded, you know, by the fact of, you know, you know loving the arts and he has a different aspect that, you know, maybe you could have groupied out a little bit and ignored different things because of your, you know, admiration of the art or of his craft?
Well, not necessarily. I almost want to piggyback with what Aaron said earlier. It impressed me that maybe, you never know, in terms of, like, maybe groupie-ish. But, like, Aaron had mentioned something earlier. It impressed me that he had this body of work, you know, that was complete and done. It was interesting. It had me, it took me through so many emotions. I fell in love with the characters. I was laughing. I was crying. Like, I live in a city, so, you know, I would be on the train, and I was reading it from his, you know, a rough copy, you know? I was almost missing my stop on the train, and I was literally impressed. Like, wow, you could create this kind of a story. This was a good story. You got to do something with it. You know, that's how it was for me.
Okay.
Because he didn't, you know, he was going to let it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you when you missed the sign, right? And you're going to admit it when you look back in hindsight. Because you're a business
woman. Okay, go.
What happened was, right, this is where you was taken off guard before you even read the story. It wasn't even the story that got you. What got you from the gate was the way he articulated when y'all first met. Wherever y'all first met and the way he spoke left that impression on you. And the fact that he actually had a book after that and it was complete was an even bigger impression on you. And when you started reading it, you were already filled with so much intrigue that you were pulled in even further. You ran into a gangster. Like, he had game. He was able to articulate you.
You most certainly are right.
To a small degree,
I was, you know how when you first meet somebody, you putting your best foot forward. You got your Sunday clothes on. You know,
right.
It's like, yo, I do this and I do that. And it's like, really? Well, I do this and I do that. And that's how it was. And then I got the manuscript. That note, you know, that was just sitting around.
Right.
And then he wrote so passionately about, like, his family. And he had such love for his mother. I mean, you know what I mean? And the way it's almost like what you're saying, yeah, the way the author portrayed these people, I knew some of it. I knew it was a novel, and I knew some of it wasn't real, but I knew the majority was loosely based around his life. He wrote from what he knew.
Okay.
And you're right, Aaron. It pulled me in. I was impressed and intrigued at the same damn time.
I'll be knowing. That's what you needed me to be your cousin or your brother on the side right there. So I could have just told you, like, yeah, listen.
Yep.
The book is good. You know, it's a good book.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get involved.
And never
in the
mind,
business.
You know,
go
had
ahead.
A great smile, charismatic, handsome man, you know.
And I'm gonna tell you what else got you. I'm gonna tell you what else got you too. Not only did he speak well, right? Because this one thing, a woman is very, very, they detect very, very keen things. Not only did he speak well, when he spoke with confidence. So that already sold you on the belief of whatever he was telling you.
Yeah, because he was confident and he was honest. He laid out his story from the beginning. Look, this is who I am. I don't have much. This is my dream. I mean, and I just got finished dating someone who I left alone and was just chilling for a while, who had two full-time jobs. Who made six figures. So, you know, when you got that confidence and that honesty as a component, it was like, it was a little bit refreshing because he admitted that I'm trying to get this out. I'm grinding. This is who I am. And, you know, we saw each other when we could. We lived long distance. But he always came. He always came to my city. He made it his point to build and incorporate me into his world. Every free moment he had, he was coming to my city. You know what I mean? I thought it was what he wanted. But sometimes, you know, I guess it shifts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
through, man. I mean,
it had to go through
clearly.
All that, yeah.
Like it clearly happened. Like I've never seen this scenario, but I've seen this scenario.
Hmm.
You know.
Have you written about
right.
this scenario?
Have you written about it?
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
Actually, I have. I've most certainly have written about this scenario. And
what about,
I think I nailed it.
No. Crazy in Love. In your books, do you have that in it at all? Or you
My
don't even look at
book.
The aspect.
My first book was totally about a woman who was frauding, leading everybody around her to believe that she was somebody other than who she was. That's what mm-hmm. it's about. It's Fancy. Her name is not Fancy. She has everybody calling her Fancy. She has everybody thinking she's Fancy. She wears nothing but designer clothes and, you know, parties every night popping bottles, and then when she goes home, she's sleeping on a mattress on the floor. Her gas is turned off, her utility, she can't pay her bill. But that's what it was, and that's just because that's too common. That's how people do, man. I know so many people like that. Like, it's so hard to find a genuine person.
Yeah,
like,
it's real.
Don't know.
That's the truth. And even what Ms. I'm Just Fine was saying about the fact that here it is, you know, they have this life here where they're actually prospering, and then he tries to side with a woman who can't even afford to text you. So it's like, what is going on? So that's crazy. And, I mean, yeah, you write the lives of the people without even knowing it. That's crazy. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's real what Vanna B. book is about, like, That is, I know her joint is fiction, but it's so close to realness. Like, even if you read Superhead books, she talk about that. Now, she was running around with all these characters, and she's basically toe down. Like, she didn't have nothing at the end. She was able to call around and ask people for stuff. But all night, popping bottles and running around, popping E.
She was getting her groupie on. And when people don't realize, if you're a groupie, you will be treated like one. Yes, you will be treated like one. It's like there's no way around it. I mean, everything might be fun and it's newness, like I'm Just Fine with saying, you know, that shiny new toy is all nice and stuff. But wait till you get a nick in it or a scratch or something, and now you get it all together different. You're like, I like this toy, but I don't like it as much because now it's like it's painted. Like, it's not. It don't even do what it used to do now. I done messed around and twisted the arm so much it done slid off. I keep popping it into place. But, they find out. You know, sooner or later they find out there's something that's missing. They think that they're missing it. And, you know, then they go after it and lose, you know, everything. So, yeah, that's bonkers. But, everything is going to pan out. It's going to pan out. It's going to be good.
Those damn groupies. them groupies will get you in trouble. Seriously.
Have you had trouble with groupies, Aaron? Have you had any ladies
throwing
their panties at you?
Not to that degree, but I definitely have had my share of groupie trouble, and that's why I'm trying to really tell people, like, don't do it. Like, it's for me, like, it's a learning lesson. I learned it, and I really learned it. Like, I carry it now. Like, you have to be very, very careful. And, like I said, you got supporters, you got people. And then you, like I said, see, me, I'm a flirt. So I got people that I just genuinely play with like that. And we both, neither of us are trying to cross any line to anything like that. So my thing, but I have had problems in the past. And it's not a good look. You got to be very aware of the signs when somebody's kind of going into that, because groupie mode can turn into stalker mode, which can turn into...
I was just thinking that.
Yes, it'll get serious. It'll go into stalker mode, and then it'll go into destruction mode, which is like, all right, I can't have you. Nobody's going to have you. I'm about to tear down anything you try to build. You know, so you got to just be very careful with it. Like, seriously. You know, people start spreading, especially with social media. People be in the inbox with you. You hurt the wrong groupie's feelings, boy. Ain't no telling what might happen.
Oh, you might put one of them Instagrams up about you.
For real. Or just,
putting your whole life out there.
Yeah, or the life that they created for you. They'll
start
making up stuff. For real, that's when they start getting they fiction on.
Yeah.
That's what old boy tried to do to me. He was trying to write a story.
See, that's what I'm saying.
A story that I ain't want no parts of.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, though. It sounded like that, too. I never heard nothing like that. I mean, I'm sure it happens, but I was a little blown away when you said that.
I was, how did that even cross your mind to do some shit like that?
Here. You gotta be careful. Now, see, luckily for you, that this particular amateur groupie revealed his hand. Now, you have people that are professional stalkers and groupies that will not have told you anything. And next thing you know, you'd have been in a conversation with your husband about this whole incident. You know what I mean? Luckily, you had a fool. That revealed their hand at
first.
Right,
because without
sometimes
the proof,
these people,
it ain't no telling what he might have thought.
Yeah.
He might have been looking at me with the side eye.
Exactly. So, you get these people, they get in destructive mode and they got a hidden hand. The inbox is the hidden hand. It's the hidden hand only, though, when you already dealing with people that their morals are less than, you know, on top of the surface, too. Because if somebody comes in your inbox with some bull and you don't straighten it and you just keep it going on some behind-the-scenes thing, then your morals is tainted, too. Like, you ain't wearing no solid armor, you know. So it's the same thing. Once it starts going in the inbox and nobody can front it, it could go on for years. You feel me? So,
it could, and that's crazy. Yeah, but you could go on and on about, you know, the book groupie or even, like you said, the author
groupies.
You have some author groupies, too, you were saying, Aaron. I guess that's authors who are going after, you know, the readers. I'm not sure how that goes. And you said people are posting videos of folks and pictures and stuff. It does get a little bit crazy. You know, the social media can be used for something very good and very powerful, but then, like you said, sometimes you get them situations where, man, so.
Yeah, and
not
just that, too. You got people jumping in roles because you get people that are jumping the roles like, hey, I'm an editor or I'm a photographer or I'm this. Anything to get close to the people in the industry just to be a groupie.
Okay.
Like, real talk.
Okay.
Like, seriously, like, oh, I do this. So now when you see them at events, they don't really look so much out of place. And, you know, they take themselves out of that reader equation by trying to come with a title. When really they don't have no experience in this at all. They really just a groupie. But they found a way to slip past the security, you feel me, so to speak.
Okay.
I can't let the readers over here.
I guess that brings us to next week's topic where we start talking about these chapters and titles. You talk about this, how people are able to slide in with these certain titles and saying they're this or that. I'm just fine. Her situation, she talks about, you know, the woman parading as, you know, graphic artist or a promotional, whatever the case may be. The next thing you know, like Vanna said, you passing out your number because you're thinking that, hey, I can use this person for something I'm trying to do. Because if you're seriously on your grind, every time you meet somebody in the industry that you feel like you can have a connect with and it confers an idea that you may have, you know, you want to swap information. But to know that you can get in a position like that and someone could come with a false premise, I don't really do graphics or whatever, to get close to you, to hurt you or hurt your family or, you know, divert, you know, attention off of the books, I think that's, you know, that's a little bit on the crazy side. But we're going to have some other things to talk about that, because I know that the wives are going to be revved up for that one. And it's not just book titles, but it's titles, period. You know, titles people take and titles people give.
You know, do you settle for certain titles? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we settle for certain titles or to be called certain things or put in certain positions rather than, you know, really going for what we, you know, should have or what we deserve. So, yeah, we're going to get into that following Sunday. And it's jumping off in the clubhouse, unless that's Easter. If it's Easter, we might be off, but we will keep everybody posted. Kia, I hope you feel better, Miss Know-It-All. We really can't wait to hear your voice.
Yes, we missed you.
Drink that ginger stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't say nothing.
Oh, they got her. They got her, y'all. They got her.
I know. They're
Yes, and we're going to see if the wives are going to feel comfortable with revealing those other YouTube videos. You know, they still kind of in the cut, still battling with it. So we're going to see if they're going to surprise you all this week. We thank all the callers on the line. No one raised their hand to speak, but everybody is there listening. We thank you for the support. We thank those in the chat room. We had a certified author's wife. We had a couple of guests. We had Complicated Passions and our girl, Kiana. She's in the chat room, and I
guess you what's up, Kiana?
Winning.
That's my sister.
Yes.
What's up, Kiana?
Yes. Yeah, but I can't wait till we join again in the clubhouse to talk about these, you know, these chapters, these titles. What's next? You know, you have all these things going on. What's next for the wives? You know, let's talk about these titles and different things, and it's going to be jumping. Other than that, I have nothing else. Do you ladies have anything as we march out the door before we drop that beat? Is there anything anybody else wants to say? We have 2 minutes left.
Life goes on. I'm it. Just stay clear of the groupies and don't give your number to nobody.
Yes. Those damn book groupies.
Winning.
When you see them damn book groupies,
winning?
This is what you do.
While he was scheming, I was scheming in the Beamer, just scheming. Can't believe that I caught my man cheating. So I found another way to make him pay for it all. So I went to Neiman Marcus on a shopping spree, and on the way I grabbed Sully and Mia. And as the cash box rang, I thought everything away. There goes the dream we used to say. There goes the time we spent away. There goes the love. Else till there was just nothing left, and I paid.